Okay, we had some amazing answers to prayer, and we want to pray for Bindu today. Father, we just pray for her condition and a healing of the bones of the hip there. We pray by faith corporately in the body of Christ. Faith feels can be generated. The Apostle Paul said, I pray, I believe, therefore I spoke, and therefore we all believe, therefore we all can speak. And there are faith fields that can be generated to people as we pray corporately. The church prayed in Acts 12 for Peter, and Peter was out of prison. Before the third, he was out of prison. We pray for healings. Pray for Pastor Carl also in a special way. We pray for the Mumbai church. It's recuperating. We recognize the onslaught that can come upon your people from the atmosphere, from the air, because Satan is the prince of the air, but we also recognize that his authority over us has been annulled through the cross. And we are in the Bible declared, not just said, declared to his name. Amen. You may be seated. I have many things to say to you today. If you are says that all authority has been given unto me. There are many things that Christ had by virtue of him being co-equal with the Father in heaven, in his eternal state, deity, as deity, divinity. Then there are also certain things that the Father handed over to the Son in his humanity. Christ is emphasizing on those things that the Father has handed over to the Son, not by virtue of him being co-equal with God, but by virtue of Jesus Christ being our representative authority. This authority he wanted to pass down to his disciples. So in Matthew 10 and Luke 10, when he sent out the 2, and he sent out the 70, and he sent out the 12, he gave them this authority, and this authority that he gave them was to basically bring out those people that in Acts chapter 10, 38 were oppressed by the spirit, unclean spirits, demons. And it was also to bring people out of his captivity. In 1 Timothy 3:6 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, it is said that Satan takes people captive at his own will. This authority, which is the right of decision making, it is delegated. It is one's right in decision making because it is delegated, is given to the church so that the church can intercept and intervene the onslaught that comes from the enemy. The church can intercept and the church can intervene. The church can penetrate beyond into the darkness and the depths of Satan. That authority, by virtue of the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and the present session of Son, who is seated there in a representative authority on behalf of you and me and on behalf of all those that will believe through us, so as John 17 says, it's very necessary to be understood. If you and I were to have an effectual ministry here in time, and prayer, you come to the pastor or you come to the elders to pray, and that is important. But I also want to let you know today that your prayer is equally powerful and penetrative in God. There is nothing such as special people with God. The tendency sometimes to think if a person graduated into a state of reverenthood rather than being reverent before God, that somehow that badge that he has and the white and the collar that he puts around his neck somehow gives him an opportunity to be preferred above the rest. And that is a misunderstanding today. When the camp prophesied, apart from Moses and Joshua, Moses and Joshua were a little intimidated that there were others prophesying in the camp. Because they thought themselves to be exclusive. In some branches of Christianity or of faith, only they possess the Holy Spirit, the others don't, because the others don't vibrate as much as them. God didn't give us the Holy Spirit to vibrate, God gave us the Holy Spirit to celebrate. We are celebrating in our personal lives the gift that God has given us, eternal life through Jesus Christ, the abundance of life that we possess, and we are celebrating the enemy's defeat, our victory, and we are celebrating the authority that we have been given to live a sanctified life here on the earth and to make a difference and a blessing in the lives of others. Amen? Amen. That is it. And I feel very sad today when there is this division that is made and people, they start living, they were not able to do one single thing in Israel. And so when Jesus came and Jesus was there and he was confronted with every infirmity that was possibly known that could be written to man, Jesus Christ never at any point of time was impotent in full restoration to the ones that were brought to him. There were times where he entered into his hometown and he was not able to do much because there was much unbelief. It had nothing to do with his ability to heal. There was much unbelief. So I have been given this authority, delegated sense. Now this authority is not to cause people to bleed. Now some of us, when we go to buy meat, prefer halal meat. Yeah, kosher. God said don't eat things that are strangled, eat things that are. Authority is not given to bleed. It's given to bless. Authority is not given to be enforced. It is given to encourage. Authority is not given to be reacted or given it, that it could be recognized. We recognize authority when we see it. Authority is not given to invade in one's life. Authority is not given only for rebuking, even though there may be an element of the spirit world. This word rebuke, when you entrance into the spirit world. Reproof is before you enter into the spirit world, God is bringing a person to a place where he wants to warn them, so he reproves them. Rebuke is when that person starts beginning to be entangled in the spirit world and is unaware of it. Authority is not given only to reprove and rebuke, it's also given to restore. Authority is not given to warn only, it's also given to win over. Are you awake this morning? So Christ had these men he was training. In his absence, he is going to depart from the earth. He calls them to himself. He takes them around for 3 years of his life. He is absolutely confident of their calling. He is not telling them, you know, I've called you, but on second thoughts. No, he's not saying that. He has called them. He said to them, go and wait for me at Galilee. Go wait for me. He said, after he ascended, when he met with them, wait for the power from on. Huh? The Holy Spirit's presence in the life of the believer is in direct proportion, in that sense, his presence in the believer is in direct proportion to Christ dwelling on the earth in his humanity. There's no difference. The only thing is, recognizing the authority in relationship to the person. What is it? If I recognize that authority, then reverence will be given to the person. Am I right or wrong? Reverence. Therefore, the Holy Spirit's presence in us as believers causes the believer to revere God and to submit to the rule of life that is there in him through the indwelling Holy Spirit. We were in the last few Sundays. I don't know if you are in the process. By the way, I want to encourage you people in the area that I live here close by, don't miss Wednesday night services. You can make out when the answers to prayer are fulfilled. The attendance starts thinning down. So God always keeps us in place of need. Now, if you want to miss church, God will put upon you some needs that will make you come to church. I'm prophesying this. If you come to church, God will open up needs of others so you can bless them. So I'm encouraging you. My prayers for those that live in the area, your Wednesday night services, by faith, the Sunday services will become like the Wednesday service. Yeah, don't watch on the internet, we're going to shut down the internet. Okay, that's over. That was a rebuke to restore. We were doing this thing on the centurions. There are the four centurions in my mind. There was one in chapter 8 of Matthew whose son was healed by proxy, meaning the centurion said to Jesus, I am a man in authority and I recognize authority when I see it. You don't come to my house, you just say the word and my servant will be. Did that happen? So there is the authority of faith. There is the authority of faith that drew out compassion from Christ that resulted in a healing. Jesus marveled at the centurion's faith because he was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. Which brings me to the point of the part in the message I'm coming to in Acts chapter 10, 34. Peter perceived in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. I don't want to miss it in how I say it. When he went to Cornelius' house, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Hurry, I thought he understood this when he was called to be a disciple. No, he heard what Jesus said when he was called to Jesus' ministry, but now he has entered into a deep understanding of the mysteries of God. And one of the mysteries of God is that there is no difference between Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor Scythian or barbarian. For we are in Acts 10:38, when God gave him a vision as a kosher or a clean Jew to eat animals that were unclean, and the purpose of giving that vision in Acts 10:38 was to show to him that what God has called clean, no man can call unclean. To the pure, Titus 1:15, all things are pure. So we don't, as Pastor Benny beautifully says, secularize the sacred. In Leviticus 10:10, one has to make a difference between that which is clean and that which is participate in those things that are unclean. We have to make a difference, a distinction between it. So here is this important thing. In Acts 8, so the faith, the authority, centurion, he's the leader of a Roman cohort, anywhere between 300 to 600 soldiers under him. He just has to say the word and a person will basically do it. He recognized that authority in Christ when he sees it, and he basically, you to come to my house, I am in authority, I say to this one, go here, and he does it. And if you give the word, my son, and the Bible says, in his messages, at what? He'll do this, and then put the mic here. Congregation will respond, at once, at that very moment. You had the centurion of chapter 8. The second centurion I thought about was the centurion that was at the cross, that was instrumental in taking Jesus Christ from the place of scourging right into the place of the Golgotha, the skull where he was to be crucified. Imagine, on that day, there was no professional, the professional scourgers. That day there was no, it was because the Pharisees and the Sadducees had conspired to take Jesus into custody and to murder, kill him. So they did not have the professional scourgers. So these Romans that took the the cat of nine tails with a whip with nails about, you know, an inch thick, didn't know how to scourge. So they actually removed his flesh out of his entire back. You know, and they were laughing and mocking and all. They were doing these things, and Christ was doing that. He was going through that process for you and me. This centurion that saw that accompanied Jesus Christ to the cross in Matthew 27, verse 4, I think it is in that chapter, said, this is surely, in Luke he says, he is innocent. In Matthew he says, he is the Son of God. The authority, the faith that he exercised at that point of time in the cross, because remember, you cannot say Son of God and not acknowledge atonement, the cross. He said, and there was recognition. He perceived that Jesus Christ was suffering uniquely. He must have even heard the conversing place and the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. So there was compassion as a result of healing, and there was recognition. You know, there was recognition. The third one was now in this chapter 10 of Acts, where Cornelius is a centurion who is a proselyte, a Jewish believer, a convert to Judaism, and his alms and his deeds to the Jewish people ascended as a memorial unto God. So God told Cornelius, send people to Peter, who's living on the coast of Israel, to Joppa. Send him, he's there with a tanner called Simon, and bring him back, because he has a message that he will say to you. So Peter comes, and Peter preaches the message. When he comes to Cornelius' house, in self-defense, he says, you know, I, as a Jew, I'm not able to come to the house of the Gentile. You know that, right? Because Jews have nothing in common with the Gentiles. Cornelius should have said, oh, shut up, just come in. No, he understands. He understands. And Peter comes in, and he says, Peter, what's going on? He's saying, Cornelius, what's going on? Cornelius says, no, this is it. I heard a message, an angel appeared to me, and he said that you have a message to say to me. The light went on. Today, lights come automatically because they're auto-controlled. In the old days, they used to tick, 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 tick. They used to flicker. You have that. What do you call that? Starter. Before you go and have a main meal, you have a... Suddenly, the light, instead of having a starter, directly it came on. And Peter is saying, I perceive. I want you to take that word home today. It's called kata lambeno. Kata means down. Down. Kata in the Greek is a preposition. It means down. It is added before a word meaning intensity. And lambeno is to take or receive. Most certainly understand that God is not one to show partiality. God is... What is it? Now only one person wins Miss India, Miss World, Miss Universe. The other ones, they win Miss Hell. No, I'm kidding. I'm taking that back. No, no. What does it mean? An acceptor of a face. The only face that God ever accepted in the light of his countenance is the face of Jesus Christ. We are accepted purely on the basis of him. It was not God's intention to turn his face away from us, but because of sin, the gaze of God's holiness, and Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. He came as a man. He was born of a virgin. He lived for 33 years. He lived an impeccable life. He did not sin. He fulfilled the Father's will. He went to the cross in obedience, gave his life as a sacrifice for sins, and fulfilled the sacrifices with the law of sacrifices in Leviticus 1-7. Not a bone was broken in his body, as is prophesied in John 19. It says very clearly in the Psalms, not one of his bones were broken. He was buried in a rich man's grave. He was given a crown to wear. He was pierced on his hands and his side. His cloak would be distributed between the soldiers. Everything according to prophecy was communicated. And he would be buried in a rich man's grave, and then he ascended, and he showed himself to many witnesses, 40 New Testament appearances, and then he eventually went to be with his Father in heaven in the glorified state, and sent his Holy Spirit down here on the earth. I perceive now, I understand that God is not the one to so if God isn't, then why should Peter reject the offer that God has made to the Gentiles to receive the message? Sometimes you are frightened by people's faces. You know, when you go to talk to a person, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I go the other way. Then I look and see if the person's mood is okay, then I go. Or I go with a gift so I can change the countenance. No, a person that understands that God is not a risk one. If I have a problem with another person and I need to reconcile myself to that individual, I don't have a problem facing that individual in relationship to what that individual has done, because God has accepted the face. It is on the basis of that verse in Acts 10:34 that I can go to a person because I have something to give that person that I have perceived of God. I hope you're understanding this message. Okay? You cannot be dwelling on idli, sambar, vada and all that you ate before coming here. You have to recognize these things, because you and I are going to constantly, as the age gets more and more evil, are going to come up with these situations, and you and I will try to defend our rights, our egos, all there in all of us, pride, everything. You know, it's not a matter of attitude, it's a matter of attitude. Altitude is how many feet you are above sea level. And the greater height you are, the greater the fall is, the more pain it is. It's not about altitude, it's about attitude. Just look up sometimes, someone will fall into your hands. They'll fall because they have decided to go very high. You'll keep on having a ministry of rescuing people from falling. It's not about altitude, it's about attitude. Means humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, gentleness. That's attitude. Oh, altitude, you know who I am? I am that I am. So we have this principle here. Cornelius is here. Peter is now sharing the message with Cornelius, and guess what? Cornelius invited to his house his closest relatives and friends, and they all heard the message of the gospel. They got saved and they were baptized at that very moment. Like a little heart on a mountain, you know, it's like a little stag on the mountain, and all of a sudden he goes, and in Acts chapter 11 verse 2, the guys of the circumcision, they come and say, come here, I heard you went to the house of the Gentiles. Did you? Peter is like, yeah. The Bible says they took issue with him. The word means they stood there as one in opposition to, when actually God has accepted their face. What is it? As God has accepted, God is not the one to show partiality to, they stood in opposition to. Isn't it amazing? That's the contradiction today. And that is why that is why people are still in unbelief. That is why people, they say, are you a Christian? They say almost, meaning what? Some people say, you know, I share. I don't understand. You can have full gospel churches, whatever. I don't really, but what the gospel is the gospel. Either you are preaching the gospel or you're preaching another gospel. I met a beautiful person yesterday. I was sharing the word to him. I don't know, sometimes he can come to church and I can give the illustration, but he was the son of a Methodist reverend. And I introduced myself, and he said, what's your name? Ebuchadnezzar. I said, wow. I said, we know what that means? Yes, the stone of help. I also have it tattooed. And then I asked him, okay, Ebuchadnezzar. He said, yep, I'm just trying to do a little bit here and a little bit there. I said, if God were to do a little bit here and a little bit there, we would be everywhere. You know, my frame of reference is when you say, like, you're nice, and I shared the gospel, and he prayed with me right there by faith. Not many people pray with me. Usually people run away. Must have been at least 25 to 30 people that rejected me. Yes, the most in recent times. Interesting place, that street on MG Road. It's like, it's a quite a place. I see people out there in real need. So I thought about it, and I'm like, wow. You know, it doesn't matter who rejects you. God is very much compassionate also to those that reject. But imagine that arm of, that extended arm of salvation that God offered to that person yesterday. His life is changed forever and doesn't even know it. So let's look into it. The centurion in Acts 10. Okay, the authority of He came under the authority of the message. Peter is a Gentile, a Jew. I can't evaluate him too much. You know what I mean? But the centurion came under the authority of the message. And what happened? Salvation came to his whole. In Acts 16, Lydia came under the authority of that message. And the whole household got saved. The jailer came under authority of that message. They were Romans. Paul is not saying, do you know, guys, I'm a Roman. You cannot charge a Roman. And you cannot persecute or scourge a Roman unless he's on trial first. No, he just kept quiet. Law of expediency at that moment of time, he didn't say anything. He just kept quiet. And the jailer and his entire household. Actually, the jailer was going to kill himself. He said, hey, we are here. We're not going anywhere. And he got a chance. And it seemed the jailer himself cleansed his wounds. Then you have the fourth centurion, and he is in Acts 27, where Paul is on a ship and he's going to go to Rome. I like this in Acts chapter 27. In verse 3, are you okay so far? I have a little time left. Julius, the centurion, has to take Paul to Rome. Paul decides on the way he's going to stop over at a particular, when they stop over at a particular place. The next day we put out at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration and allowed him to go to his friends and receive care. Would you, as a centurion, allow a person that has appealed to Caesar to just let go? No. Because if you lost him, you were in serious trouble. But it says here very clearly, he allowed him to go and receive care. Now, it could be, I mean, you could read into it, and it could be that he sent some soldiers with him to, but My reading tells me that the centurion saw something deep in Paul. He sensed Paul's authority and he was willing to submit to his integrity. What is it? He saw Paul. What did he see? This authority he saw in this man's calling, wherein which he submitted to his what? Integrity, he submitted to his calling, and that is like he integrity caused him to experience consolation later down the road. Now, I'm getting into it, okay? This word given to, keep it there, what I said so far. This word, katalambeno, is a very important word, as all words in the Bible are important. Means Christ, this definition from one of the dictionaries, Christ by his power and influence takes hold of the human mind and will in order to prompt and to govern. Kata lambeno, Christ taking a hold of my mind and my volition. By his power and influence, that is, it is through the Word and the Holy Spirit, is able to prompt me and to govern. So when Peter said, this I perceive, it is the word katalambeno. Christ taking a hold of Peter through the Holy Spirit, because later on in Acts chapter 10, in verse 19, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, he's seeing a vision, a sheet with unclean animals, Leviticus 11 on it. The Spirit, God is giving it to him, but it says the Spirit said to him. You understand that? It is, he is being taken, he is being held by God so as to be prompted and to govern. It is his mind and his volition. Therefore, having understood in his mind, he is led now to make a decision to go to give the message. This is the provision that is available to you and me as a believer when you and I are functioning in God's exousia. It also is spoken of in the evil sense of a demon that is tormenting a person. In the book of Mark, in the 9th chapter, verse 18, they were discussing an issue with the multitudes, and Jesus is asking the question, what is it that you are discussing among yourselves? And a person comes and says, my son is over, he has been possessed by a demon. That word in 9:18 is a demon taking a hold of a word. There is also interesting because it is also used of to lay hold as to make it one's own, to take to oneself. So in the word katalambeno, either I am allowing God to take control over my life so as to prompt and govern me, so as to make, to take hold of me, to be one with Him. And the believer, when he is functioning in there, to invade into the darkness of satanic territory so as to deliver people from those who have been taken, who have been held by the devil. When you go out corporately and you do it personally, individually, when you're led by the Spirit, but as a discipline, as a church, when we go out and we corporately, and you that stay back to pray, maybe you're praying on a Saturday for the body that is going out to evangelize in 7-8 parts of the city during the week, you are praying so that authority would be given from heaven in a fresh way over our lives to deliver people out of darkness from the hands of Satan and bring them into the kingdom of God. Am I right or wrong? Yes. We are not going to be influenced by the interim budget or by those that will come into power. We pray for all those that are in authority in Romans 13, 1 to 7, 1 Peter 2, 13. We pray, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We are praying, but we submit to the local authorities, the governments, but we have another kind of authority which is given to us from above. So don't hide in your Christianity. Don't say times are this and times are that. You and I have that authority. The devil wants us to be ignorant of that authority in which we are called to live. I'll close with this. I have a lot actually here, but I'm not able to say it because it's time. I want you to read what I said, because you only have a minute is with the Lord is 1 hour, by the way. One day is as 1,000 years. I'm just kidding. No, you are a very concentrating. I just want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. I'll close with this. I thought this was interesting. Here is a man. He is lame in Acts chapter 3. Everyone in our wrist maybe throws a shilling, a crown, a paise, and the noise is big. Coins make a lot of noise. That's why when kids come and ask for money, we give them coins because they measure it by weight. You give them a rupee, they don't want a rupee, they want coins. So this man was being given all kinds of coins. Peter and all are not interested in giving him coins. Peter are not interested in him getting up and jumping up and down and praising God and leaping. That's what Peter is looking at. So he thought the miracle happened, and in chapter 4 is brought into question. Look at this verse, which I saw many times. When they say their salvation in no one else in chapter 4, 12, now 13, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were educated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Dallas Theological Seminary, Greater Grace Bible School. No, I'm not putting our college on that level. I'm saying they had as if been with Infosys, no? Wipro? Whatever. No, been with whom? Interesting. Perceive, they saw, to view attentively, to be a spectator, to survey. To view attentively, to be a spectator, to survey. What these people are looking at? Man jumping up and down that was once laying there. Was lame, asking for alms. Now they see him jumping up and down and heal, and they don't know what to make of it. Remember in John 9 when the guy was blind from birth and was healed? They don't know what to make of it. You remember John 5 when he was living by that port, by the portrait of Solomon around there at Bethesda? They didn't know what to make of it. These guys, there's something going on here. What is it? The voltage is high. Things are blowing out of proportion. What is it? They saw. They viewed attentively to be a spectator, to survey, investigate. What did they see? The confidence. They're not saying, Peter and John are not saying, what do you think of this guy? You think we're able to heal him? You go first. They're like rubbing each other's shoulder. You go, yeah. See, I denied him 3 times. You didn't. You're the disciple that, you know, that is whom Jesus loved. You on his shoulder. Yeah, you go. You have more. Two are better than one. No, Ecclesiastes 4:10-12. And two walk together, they are agreed. They are ready for this encounter. They're not vacillating. They're not in doubt. They are ready for the encounter. There is a willingness because there is a prompting and there is an empowerment by the Holy Spirit. If I confess negativity, the power of that negativity will govern me. It has nothing to do with the other person that you are in a relationship with. It has to be with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have the power to be motivated by His love, to enable by His Spirit, to be oriented towards His grace, then you don't see the person. You see the viewpoint of the authority God has given you to be a blessing in their life. They may not be able to understand it. You leave it there. Your options, you have no other option but for this. You cannot run after them and try to, you know, force them. This is just a provision that is available. Take it or leave it. It's a provision. Boldness. The same boldness we have in Ephesians 3:12. Access. We have this access through the Spirit. Because of the new and living way which He inaugurated through the flesh in 10, 20, 19 and 20 of Hebrews, a new and living way. This boldness is also used in preaching. It was used in Acts 2:29, 4:13, 4:29, 4:31 and 28:21, wherein which in speaking there was a freeness and a boldness. Now this is what is interesting, because when you speak like this or you have this confidence, this is what it is. It is, there is no concealment, there is no ambiguity, that means you're not ambiguous, there is no figures and there is no comparison. That means you are not vague in your communication. So if you are preaching the message of the gospel and you are taken by the authorities and brought to the magistrate and now you're in court and they ask you, what were you saying? 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, according to scriptures, huh? Aren't you afraid for your life that I could throw you in jail? I'm also aware of the person that can take me out of jail and put you in it. What? I mean, it's like, you are, I mean, we think like that. We are strange and crazy people. The Lord of the hosts that is waiting there and what kind of representative authority are you going to be if you want to see my power manifested and demonstrated? Oh, I'll be a coward. Then the captain of the host is not able to move because he is out there with a drawn sword in his hand, waiting to battle for the believer. So this, they saw. What did they see? I'm closing. They saw the confidence. Very simple. Silver and gold have I? None, but in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Don't say the word loudly. Somebody will hear. Or if they hear, they'll bind you and take you in stocks. In the name of Jesus. One observation my wife made in a building, there was a woman that sings these ragas from 5 a.m. and starts singing in the evening at 5 a.m., 5 and 5. And so since Emma came and they are singing in my house now till quite late. The ragas only started. We didn't realize it. Maybe she is listening to the voices coming from above. You know, it's a, honestly, it was a, now they may start tomorrow, I don't know. But it stopped. Without, and it was irritating at times, because sometimes when you want quiet time or something, you know, the kids are in and it's like in an apartment, so it was like interesting. It was interesting. I'm not saying this to be like, you know, to kind of, this is coincidence or this is like just pure luck or something. It is possible that the enemy senses a greater authority. The sons of Sceva were manipulated by the devil to be exorcists. But then when they had to cast off a demon from a person, the demon said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are? That means when there is a recognition of authority, there will of necessity be conflict. The conflict is not because you're a bad person or God doesn't love you or you don't have it in you to do the things. The conflict is sensing authority that is greater than theirs. So they have to project. They cannot take us captive anymore, blood bought, so they have to project in such a way so we, through our own ignorance, give up the authority that we have in Christ. Understand what I'm saying? And so we hear something and let it go. Take something smaller. God is calling us not to do things which we are able to. God is calling us to do things which Pastor told said it's impossible for us to do, because that which is impossible with man is possible with. So finally, they saw that they were what kind of men? Viewpoint, they were illiterate, and this is a word, important word, idiotes, idiots. Unskilled, meaning if I have a melodious voice and I was singing in an opera, if I was singing like that, the other guy would be, that means you kill a skill. Like if you got a guy playing cricket, you know, he bats, he's got good technique, the other guy is catching the bat ulta. He doesn't know. That is what it means, idiots. They are the other spectrum, are the other end of something that is skillful. They're looking at these guys. They recognize them. That is the word epigenosko. What it means, epigenosko is accurate and complete knowledge. It is a knowledge that has entered into one so as to give him a clear understanding. They understood very well that these people, even though they were from human viewpoint, unskilled or the other end of the spectrum or seemingly uneducated, mean didn't go to any formal schools, one thing we cannot deny is the authority and the power they possess, because they have been with Jesus. I don't have anything to say, I'm done. But I have a lot of seed thoughts here. The authority of Paul in relationship to his integrity, but he did not understand the authority of Paul in relationship to the promise God made to him. And so if you read Acts 27, he was persuaded by the pilot of the boat to get out into the sea when Paul had told them, don't do it. He recognized the integrity that's in relationship to Paul's authority, but he didn't understand the words that Paul was saying. So in his integrity, he allowed him to his words later on when the whole catastrophe happened, caused him to submit to what Paul said. And that faith in Paul's authority brought consolation. There was no loss of life. And it's amazing, when the soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners when there was a shipwreck and each one was going to the shore, the centurion made sure that nothing, no harm would come to Paul, because he had received an order to take him to Rome. That means that authority was visible by the unbelieving, and in so seeing the authority of the unbelieving, of the one that is a believer, brings a person to faith, to saving faith. It doesn't say that the centurion got saved, but there's a possibility. That, see this important thing here. Two words. Katalambeno, for one's own. They perceive. Above, we have given to make a difference in the lives of people. 2 Corinthians chapter if I can bring them to mind. 2 Corinthians 10:8 and 13:10, Paul said, the ministry that I receive from God is not to destroy, edify, and to build up. Even though he said, I have received a ministry from God, the purpose is not for destruction. Things who are filled with all kinds of problems in their lives. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You have sent him down to us to prompt us and to govern us to live in a kingdom that can never be moved. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We worship, stand up, give the Lord a shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have any requests, give it to God today. Live in doubt, fear, and some of the time. No, just by faith, trust God for the consequences. He is for us. He is not. Don't go under the sheet and murmur. And no, just trust God. Believe. If there are crises, hardships in our life, it's allowed by God to make us mature in the kingdom of God and go from milk to meat Christians. Let's believe. Okay, let's worship.